KZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court flips today for the first time in 15 years. Terry Bell reports.
Janet Protasiewicz is sworn in late this afternoon, and after that happens, the High Court will have a 4-3 liberal majority, the first time progressives will be in control since 2008. Historically, Supreme Court candidates declined to take positions, but Protasiewicz made her left-of-center views the centerpiece of her campaign. The race she won in April was the most expensive state Supreme Court campaign in American history, due in no small part to the important cases expected to come before the court in the months to come. They likely include abortion, gerrymandering, and voting rules for next year's presidential election. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
A new effort to increase confidence in elections is underway. The group Keep Our Republic organized in Wisconsin this spring. It held its first seminar for local leaders last night in Chippewa Falls. Director Kathy Bernier.
Our community engagement programs begin to tell the truth about our elections to the people like you, and then you can help spread the truth.
Bernier says Wisconsin has safe, fair, and accurate elections. A Democratic congressman says Republicans are setting the federal government up for a shutdown this fall. Mark Pocan points to inaction on the House Appropriations Committee as proof.
If they can't even pass the bills they're putting out with their members, it's going to very likely be a shutdown because they're okay with that. And no one should accept that as you know, another day in Washington.
Pocan was on Upfront on WISN-TV Sunday. Wisconsin has the largest and longest-running high school apprenticeship program in the country. The Urban Institute says it's a model for others. Mike Moen has more.
The Institute's Robert Lerman helped compile the findings and says the Badger State's approach really gets to the heart of blending academics with on-the-job training.
They have part of the day or part of the week. They're at their workplace. But the whole point is that the workplace is a learning center for them.
The Institute says another highlight of Wisconsin's program is that it has statewide curriculum skill standards, meaning an apprentice's credentials can be portable. Researchers say a weak spot is limitations for youth to move on to registered apprentice systems that offer extended training. I'm Mike Moen.
A lawsuit challenging the city of Milwaukee's ability to promote civic engagement has been thrown out. Last fall, a Milwaukee voter and the Republican Party of Wisconsin sued the city over its Milwaukee Votes 2022 Get Out the Vote effort. A Milwaukee County judge dismissed the lawsuit yesterday. The judge wrote, the civic engagement efforts did not cause harm to the plaintiffs, but rather were a part of democracy. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory and Polk County. A Cameron man is in custody and is accused of making a threat at a bar in Barron County. The Sheriff's Department said 34-year-old Scott Popple was arrested Sunday night after they got a 911 call from Ben and Maggie's in Cameron. The caller said a man showed up at the front door with a gun and was making threats. Popple had a gun when he was arrested. He has not yet been charged for any crimes. Dozens of striking workers at Leinenkugel's Brewery in Chippewa Falls will meet with parent company Molson Coors today. Nearly four dozen employees went on strike 3 weeks ago seeking better pay. At the time, Molson Coors said it made an offer that was higher than similar union jobs in the area. Local 662 Teamsters Union said it's the first strike in the brewery in about four decades. Some Chippewa Falls bars have stopped serving Leinenkugels as a show of support for the striking workers. The company doesn't expect the strike to affect its production or sales. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Brewers lose in D.C. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last night at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C., it looked like the Brewers had a win over the Nationals.
And now here comes Weimer, who's hit it hard twice, but has nothing to show for that. He's 0-2.
Hit in the air in the center field, and that ball is crushed. Call going back, turns around. Watch this, baby. Goodbye. Brewers take the lead. Joey Weimer smashes one into the seats in right center field to make it 3-2 Milwaukee in the seventh.
Highlight, Bally Sports Wisconsin. The Nationals came back to score three more runs and get the win 5-3 over Milwaukee. The Brewers have now lost four in a row. Corbin Burns has had six quality starts in the past month. Win or lose, it seems like the Brewers are in tight ball games every night.
Yeah, I think that there's signs of us, you know, playing some good baseball. We scored a lot of runs in Atlanta. You know, score a couple runs today, so it's definitely there. there. We just haven't, you know, pitched the ball the best.
The Crew made a trade with the Mets last night, picking up outfielder Mark Canna, batting 245, six home runs, 29 runs batted in exchange for pitcher Justin Jarvis. Canna joins the team tonight. Craig Counsell.
Probably going to play a lot of right field, and that's going to move Sal to some center field. So, you know, we'll have to kind of mix and match with the outfielders. We got the DH spot, obviously, that's going to be in play too. And there'll be some, you know, whether it's Christian or Mark with some DH at bats, it opens that up too.
NFL, the Packers had their first practice in pads. The play of the day was a 45-yard bomb from quarterback Jordan Love to wide receiver Christian Watson. Peyton Manning arrived to talk to the players. What was it like to be with the former Colts and Broncos Hall of Famer, Jair Alexander?
Peyton Manning? Mm-hmm. Oh, it feels good because, you know, we beat Peyton Manning in the Pro Bowl. You know, got a little advance, you know, got a little advance off that. So it was always good to see Peyton.
You're the king of good trash talk, though. Did you say anything to him today?
Nah, I just take the ball from his son every time I see him. You know, punch it out or something. He starts smiling. That's all.
That's Packers defensive back Jair Alexander. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on a Tuesday morning, the beginning of a new month. Yes, it is August. Today is August 1st. Hope you're having a good day so far. We've got 6 minutes, almost 7 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. And it's going to be another warm and sunny day throughout most of western Wisconsin. Forecast for today, La Crosse, mostly sunny, high around 86 degrees. In Eau Claire, partly sunny with a high around 85. Up in Hayward, mostly sunny with a high around 84 degrees. And Amory, mostly sunny, looking for a high around 83 degrees today. And there is so much going on in the world today. Where do we even start? I think that one of the things we should note is the fact that our state, Wisconsin, is one of the most important states when it comes to national elections, specifically presidential elections, right? And I came across a story in the Journal Sentinel from a guy who knows Wisconsin politics about as well as anybody, probably better than anybody, Craig Gilbert, who worked for the Journal Sentinel for over 30 years covering politics. I think he spent about 25 years running the Washington Bureau for the Journal Sentinel. And he has an interesting article in today's Journal Sentinel about the indispensable state. Yep, that's us. Why Wisconsin could again be the electoral tipping point in 2024. And I want to give you some of this because it's a good explanation, excuse me, of why Wisconsin is so important to the presidential race. And Mr. Gilbert starts his article in the Journal Sentinel this way. He said, Wisconsin put Republican Donald Trump over the top in the Electoral College in 2016. Then it did the same for Democrat Joe Biden 4 years later. So based on the two most recent elections, Wisconsin is the closest thing to an indispensable state in presidential politics. By any measure, it's one of the three or four states that matter most in 2024 and has its own special claim to being the most pivotal of all the battlegrounds. The case for this lies in its role as the tipping point state in both 2016 and 2020. Now, tipping point is a concept that has gained currency among analysts as a way of capturing the relative importance of battleground states to the Electoral College outcome. It is not a measure of the closest state in a presidential election. That was Georgia last time. And it's not a measure of the state that most clearly reflects the national popular vote. That was Michigan the last time.
Instead, it refers to the state that pushes the winner past the finish line, supplying the final votes he or she needs to reach a majority of 270 in the Electoral College. And that is calculated by ranking every state and the District of Columbia from the reddest to the bluest, or vice versa, based on their popular vote margin, then identifying the state in between those polls, that's P-O-L-E-S, the polls, whose electoral votes are the difference between winning and losing. Okay, so here's another way of saying it. The tipping point state is the median electoral prize. There are an almost equal number of electoral votes to the right of that state and to the left of that state. For example, Biden's biggest victory margin in 2020 was 87 points in Washington, D.C., which had three electoral votes, followed by 35.4 points in Vermont, and that also had three electoral votes. There was a 33.5% difference, percentage point difference in Massachusetts, which represents 11 electoral votes. And then in Maryland, the difference, Biden won by 33.2 points in Maryland, which has 11 electoral votes, and so on. So if you keep adding the electoral votes of other states that Biden carried by decreasing margins, you eventually get to Pennsylvania, which had 20 electoral votes and which Biden won by 1.2 points. That gave him 269 electoral votes, one vote shy of an outright majority. So Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes then put Biden over the top. He won it by just over 6/10 of a point. Biden won Wisconsin by just over 6/10 of a point. So you can do the same exercise for the 2016 election. Trump's biggest margin was 46.3 points in Wyoming, which has three electoral votes, followed by a 41.7% or percentage point win in West Virginia, which has five votes. And then Trump won by 36.4 points in Oklahoma, which has seven electoral votes. If you keep adding the electoral votes of the other states Trump carried by decreasing margins, you eventually get to Florida's 29 votes, which Trump won by only 1.2 points, giving him 260 votes. And in that election, 2016, Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes then put Trump over the top. He won it by just under 8/10 of a point. In both of these elections, the winner won some additional states by even smaller margins than Wisconsin, padding their electoral majorities. For instance, Pennsylvania and Michigan went for Trump in 2016, and Arizona and Georgia went for Biden in 2020. But these states weren't mathematically indispensable using this tipping point logic. They could have been captured by the other party without changing the winner of the contest. So the website, Sabato's Crystal Ball, recently calculated the tipping point state in every presidential election since 1948. Then for the next portion of Gilbert's piece here in the Journal Sentinel, there's a headline that says, Great Lakes states are a perennial presidential battleground. And Craig Gilbert goes on and says, it's a list dominated by the Great Lakes states, which have for decades supplied a disproportionate share of presidential battlegrounds. Illinois was the tipping point state in 1980. Ohio was the tipping point state in 1968, 1972, and 2004. Michigan, tipping point state in 1952, 1984, and 1988. And Pennsylvania, 1996. Wisconsin was the tipping point state in 1976, 2016, and 2020. That's 11 out of the past 19 presidential contests. And outside of the Great Lakes region, California was the tipping point state in 1948, Florida, 1956, and the year 2000. Missouri was the tipping point state in 1960. Washington, 1964. Tennessee in 1992. And Colorado in 2008 and 2012. Not all of these states were close because not all of these national elections were close, but these states occupied the center of the Electoral College in those presidential contests. They were the places that would have decided the presidency had the Electoral College come down to a single state. Of course, the tipping point state isn't the only one that matters in a close election, since there are usually other battlegrounds that differ from it only slightly in their outcomes. To get a fuller picture of the top battleground states over the decades, you need to widen the lens to include states where the winning margin was close to the margin in the tipping point state. For instance, in 2020, the outcome in six other states was within 3 points of Wisconsin's margin, and those states are Michigan, Nevada, and Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, and North Carolina, and three of those states, Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, were within 1 point of Wisconsin. So these four states are considered by some the top battlegrounds going into 2024. Some experts will add Nevada to that list. Some throw in Michigan, North Carolina, or New Hampshire if they're defining the playing field a little more broadly. And the caveat here is that the latest election map isn't a perfect guide to the next election map, since parties change, candidates change, and the partisan character of states change. Colorado, the tipping point state in both of the Obama elections, is now a safe Democratic state, no longer on the very front lines of the fight for the White House. And like Colorado, Virginia is a former red state that is now blue. It was only a presidential battleground as it transitioned from one to the other. And Ohio, the tipping point state in 2004, has become a safe Republican state. Its days as a presidential kingmaker are over for now. Iowa was on average the single most competitive presidential state in the 20-year period from 1992 to 2012, but is now an unmistakably red state. It voted for Trump by more than 8 points. So we do have to take a break here, but this gives you some idea of just how important Wisconsin is. It is considered the electoral tipping point in 2024. Again, after being the tipping point state in both 2016 and 2020. We've got 17, almost 18 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Going to take a break on this first day of August. It's Jerry Garcia's birthday today. He would be 81 years old today. Happy birthday, Jer.
Vegetables and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA.
And here's your updated forecast. Highs around 83 today. Under partly cloudy skies, southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows level off around 63. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 87. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Thursday, with daytime highs approaching 87. 82 Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 64.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Of August, what would have been Jerry Garcia's 81st birthday. Of course, he passed away in 1995, but he left us a lot of great music. Shakedown Street and the Grateful Dead. 24 minutes after 8 o'clock now, Tuesday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Talking about several different topics in the news today. Did you happen to see the video of Donald Trump yelling at the rhinos? Get out. He wants them to get out if they can't impeach Joe Biden. It's like impeachment now, especially to Republicans, has just become something that you do. It's something that you do to the president. You got to find a reason to impeach him, but just go ahead and impeach him. So Donald Trump is threatening Republicans now in the House to impeach Joe Biden or risk losing their jobs. Donald Trump urged House Republicans to impeach Joe Biden or else they will be immediately primaried. So obviously threats are something that Donald Trump has used forever and continues to do so, threatening House Republicans now, congressmen. They're going to lose their job if they don't impeach Biden. This piece is from USA Today, just updated a couple hours ago. It's by Ken Tran. And he starts out here saying that House Republicans have been talking a lot about impeaching President Joe Biden over what they allege is his improper involvement in his family's business dealings. But with a long to-do list, when lawmakers return to Washington after their August recess, for now it's just all talk. Former President Donald Trump, however, is pressuring Republican lawmakers to put action behind their words and begin the impeachment process against Biden or face electoral consequences. Quote, any Republican that doesn't act on Democratic fraud should be immediately primaried and get out. That's what Trump said to supporters at a campaign rally on Saturday in Erie, Pennsylvania. He went on and said, we got a lot of good, tough Republicans around. People are going to run against them and people are going to win, end quote. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, Republican from California, has repeatedly dismissed the notion he is facing pressure from the former president to go after Biden, calling an impeachment inquiry an appropriate course of action. Quote, if the Biden administration does not provide the information we need, then we would go to an impeachment inquiry, McCarthy said at a press conference last week, referencing House Republicans' various investigations into whether Biden benefited from Hunter Biden's foreign business dealings. And it goes on here and says McCarthy and other Republican lawmakers are finding themselves in a political bind over Trump's comments. House Republicans only have roughly 3 weeks when they come back to Washington in September to approve must-pass spending bills, and an impeachment inquiry could take up valuable time needed to avoid a government shutdown. Got to take a break. It's 67 degrees in La Crosse and 58 degrees in Hayward right now. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. Mounting legal problems for Donald Trump, his new co-defendant in the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case, Carlos de Oliveira, making his first court appearance on Monday.
It's not just that Trump had these records, allegedly. It's that he did not want to give them back. So that's where we enter Carlos de Oliveira, this Mar-a-Lago property manager. And what prosecutors say he's been caught up in is this alleged effort to keep the records.
ABC's Olivia Rubin in Miami. The former president saying that he expects another indictment, quote, any day now. That one in the investigation into attempts to overturn the 2020 election results. At the Women's World Cup, the U.S. team squeaked through to the next round with a 0-0 draw against Portugal. They don't know yet who they'll be facing first in the first of the knockout rounds. Major cities, including New York, are asking for more federal aid to house migrants as the crisis at the border spills over into cities where migrants are being bused. This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory and Polk County. A Cameron man is in custody and is accused of making a threat at a bar in Barron County. The Sheriff's Department said 34-year-old Scott Popple was arrested Sunday night after they got a 911 call from Ben and Maggie's in Cameron. The caller said a man showed up at the front door with a gun and was making threats. Popple had a gun when he was arrested. He has not yet been charged for any crimes. Dozens of striking workers at Lightning Kugel's Brewery in Chippewa Falls will meet with parent company Molson Coors today. Nearly four dozen employees went on strike 3 weeks ago seeking better pay. At the time, Molson Coors said it made an offer that was higher than similar union jobs in the area. Local 662 Teamsters Union said it's the first strike in the brewery in about four decades. Some Chippewa Falls bars have stopped serving Leinenkugels as a show of support for the striking workers. The company doesn't expect the strike to affect its production or sales. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
So hot and cold, froze 10 feet beneath the ground. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. I sat down to my supper, was a bottle of red whiskey. I said my prayers and went to bed, that's the last they saw of me. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me, please don't murder me. When I awoke the diable, 600 pounds of sin was grinning at my window, all I said was come on in. But don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. The wolf came in, I got my cards, we sat down for a game. I cut my deck to the queen of spades, but the cards were all the same. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. Don't murder me. Backwash up in Nario, black and bloody mud. The dying wolf collects his due while the boys sing round the fire. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me.
Yeah, it's 8:35 right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Jerry Garcia singing about the dire wolf. On a Tuesday morning, first day of August. And welcome back into the show. By the way, if you have an opinion on anything we've been discussing so far today, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And by the way, you can also send me an email message. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U. So I want to ask you if you've been following this story with the Alabama senator, Tommy Tuberville, and his efforts to stop military promotions as a tool to change the way the military handles women's health care. All right, I have a headline here from Rolling Stone, and it says, DeSantis defends Tuberville's freeze on military promotions. And there's a little, I guess you would call it I don't even know what you call this, but it's above the headline and it's in real small letters. And it just says pro-military question mark. Then the subheadline under DeSantis defends Tuberville's freeze on military promotions says the Republican presidential hopeful told Fox's Bret Baier that he believed a hold on promotions was necessary to recalibrate the U.S. armed forces. That seems to me that the Republican Party these days is just the party of disruption, right? You got to disrupt everything. It's like they're not happy with the way things are going. And so just disrupt and tear down everything. We need to recalibrate the armed forces. Now, we didn't know that before, but evidently that is now the case. And this story from Rolling Stone by Nikki McCann Ramirez starts this way. It says, Ron DeSantis is doing CPR on his campaign, and there's no Republican spin room quite like Fox News. Amid a discussion of campaign drama and tanking polling, the Florida governor, a Navy veteran, told Fox's Bret Baier that he supported Senator Tommy Tuberville's freeze on military promotions because pronouns and drag queens, question mark. So Bret Baier says to Ron DeSantis, he says, do you support Senator Tommy Tuberville from Alabama blocking the military promotions over Pentagon policy and abortion policy? And so Governor DeSantis says, I do, because I think the Pentagon is violating the law. And he said that referring to the Defense Department's policy of reimbursing service members, veterans, and dependents for travel expenses related to abortion and reproductive health care. DeSantis said, I think it plays into a larger problem that we've seen in the military. You have a lot of civilians forcing them to engage in political and culture issues that are detracting from the mission. This is one of them, but also the pronouns and the drag queens and all those other things. We need to get the military back on focusing on mission first, he added. Now, I don't know how closely you pay attention to what's going on in the national news about the military, but I don't recall anybody forcing military members to engage in political issues, culture issues, pronoun issues, and drag queens. Yeah, I don't recall that. If you know of those instances that he's talking about, feel free to call in and inform me. This piece from Rolling Stone goes on and says, Senator Tuberville has used his position as a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee to stall more than 270 military promotions over his opposition to the Department of Defense's abortion policy. Leaders and even retired generals have warned that the vacancies in high-ranking postings, including the commanding officer of the United States Marines, is affecting the military's readiness. The DeSantis campaign has floundered in recent weeks. A New York Times Siena College survey released on Monday has the Florida governor 37 points behind frontrunner Donald Trump. And despite attempts at a campaign reset and firing more than a third of its staff in July, donors are becoming increasingly skeptical of DeSantis' ability to pull his presidential bid back from the brink and are worried that his fixation on culture war politics is derailing his appeal to voters. And if you've been watching the news recently, you know that Ron DeSantis' biggest issue is wokeism. He's out there fighting wokeism every day with all of his might. But anyway, here's a quote for you. It says, I don't think it's the campaign's fault at all. It's his, longtime Republican strategist Ed Rollins, who recently dropped his support for DeSantis' presidential bid, previously told Rolling Stone. He went on and said, every time he opens his mouth, he has a tendency to, shall we say, think out loud. And he clearly doesn't understand the game. When you get into these culture wars the way that he has, the vast majority of people don't understand what they are. DeSantis was asked about Rollins' comments by Brett Baer and called the criticism nonsense. Interesting. Ron DeSantis and his fight against wokeism and his concern that the military is too concerned with drag queens and culture issues, and yet we don't see that. Evidently, it's his way of explaining his position in supporting Senator Tuberville's efforts to block almost 300 promotions in our military. Got 8:42 right now. Another thing I wanted to get to was important fast food news. I'm going to ask my producer, Aaron, do you have a favorite fast food restaurant?
I think if I had to pick one, I'd go with Culver's. And the fact that it's like a point of pride for Wisconsin doesn't hurt either. But yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, as far as fast food goes, Culver's isn't too bad. It's probably better than most. In addition to Culver's, I like going to Chipotle. And I don't know if Panera is even considered a fast food place, but that's always a go-to for me. Do you, Aaron, ever go to Taco Bell?
I haven't in a while, but sometimes, yeah. Especially because I have a lot of people in my family who are gluten-free. So when I was living with my parents, it was a good option.
Is that right? For people that are trying to avoid the gluten, Taco Bell is a good option.
Yeah, it at least has more options than some like a place like Culver's if you want to have the food as it is intended to be. Because, yeah, you could order a burger without a bun, but that's weird. Whereas if you have something with like a corn tortilla or like a taco salad kind of deal, it already doesn't have gluten in it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, unfortunately for Taco Bell, they're being sued right now over. And by the way, do you know about this story or do you have any guesses as to why Taco Bell is being sued right now?
I am going to guess that it's not about food, that it's about some kind of copyright thing, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's not a bad guess, but in this particular case, it is actually about food. Taco Bell is being sued over the amount of meat and beans in their Mexican pizzas and crunch wraps. There's a guy from New York named Frank Siragusa, and he accuses the company of selling him a Mexican. This is hard to keep a straight face while I'm reading this, but he says he's accusing the company of selling him a Mexican pizza that had half of the beef and bean filling that he expected. Okay. So he was expecting a certain amount, but he didn't get that amount. So now he's suing the company. And do you think he'll get any money? I don't know. It says here, this, by the way, is from USA Today, posted 14 hours ago. It says, New York man is suing Taco Bell for false advertising, saying that the California-based company isn't making many of its menu items the way they're pictured in advertisements. And I just thought that's the way it's been done forever. You know, if you look at some of the sandwiches on TV, like the Big Wendy's sandwich or Burger King's Whopper and those kinds of things, they never look in your hands the way that they look on TV. The ones on TV are all dolled up, all fixed up. You know, they got professionals who fix up the sandwiches and make them look really good for the commercials. But anyway, this guy from Queens, Frank Siragusa, filed the lawsuit in federal court in Brooklyn yesterday. He's seeking class action status to include other disappointed Taco Bell customers. So if you are a Taco Bell customer and feel you haven't gotten enough meat and beans on your burrito or taco, then you could be included in this class action settlement. The lawsuit includes multiple side-by-side photos comparing Taco Bell's advertisements with what the food actually looks like. Siragusa, quote, expected the Mexican pizza that he purchased to contain a similar amount of beef and bean filling as contained in the pictures of the Mexican pizza in Taco Bell's advertisements, according to the lawsuit. Now, I don't know how far that's going to go, but who knows? He may get a bunch of money, just like that woman who spilled some coffee in her lap and got millions of dollars from McDonald's. 8:47 right now. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's your updated forecast. partly cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 83. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows level off around 63. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered storms, highs around 87. Daytime highs approaching 87 Thursday under partly cloudy skies. 82 Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 67.
This summer, Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
Somewhere 8:52 on a Tuesday morning, the first day of August. Welcome back into the Stu Daniels Show. And have you decided where you stand as far as the presidential election for next year? Have you made up your mind who you're going to vote for? Well, if you're a Democrat, you're probably going to vote for Joe Biden, right? If you're a Republican, chances are most likely that you'll support Donald Trump, although there are at least a dozen other choices. Well, there's new polling data out there for what the polls are worth. Sometimes they're correct, sometimes they're not. But a New York Times poll, New York Times Siena College poll, has new numbers here. And the headline from the New York Times says Joe Biden shores up Democratic support, but faces a tight race against Trump. A New York Times Siena College poll found that President Biden is on stronger footing than he was a year ago, but he is neck and neck in a possible rematch against Trump. And this piece was posted this morning at New York Times. It says President Biden is heading into the 2024 presidential contest on firmer footing than a year ago, with his approval rating inching upward and once doubtful Democrats falling into line behind his reelection bid, according to a New York Times Siena College poll. Mr. Biden appears to have escaped the political danger that he resided in last year when nearly two-thirds of his party wanted a different nominee. Now, Democrats have broadly accepted him as their standard bearer, even if half would prefer someone else. Still, warning signs abound for the president, despite his improved standing and a friendlier national environment. Biden remains broadly unpopular among a voting public that is pessimistic about the country's future, and his approval rating is a mere 39%. Perhaps most worryingly for Democrats, the poll found Biden in a neck-and-neck race with former President Trump, who held a commanding lead among likely Republican primary voters, even as he faces two criminal indictments and more potential charges on the horizon. Biden and Trump were tied at 43% apiece in a hypothetical rematch in 2024, according to the poll. Biden has been buoyed by voters' feelings of fear and distaste toward Trump. Well over a year before the election, 16% of those polled had unfavorable views of both Biden and Trump, a segment with which Biden had a narrow lead. Quote, "Donald Trump is not a Republican, he's a criminal," said John Whitman, 42 years old, a heating and air conditioning contractor from Phoenix. "He's a Republican." He said that even though he believed Biden's economic stewardship had hurt the country, quote, "I will vote for anyone on the planet that seems halfway capable of doing the job, including Joe Biden, over Donald Trump." And that's a Republican talking, guy from Phoenix. And this piece from the New York Times goes on and says, to borrow an old political cliche, the poll shows that Biden's support among Democrats is a mile wide and an inch deep. About 30% of voters who said they plan to vote for Biden in November 2024 said they hoped Democrats would nominate someone else. And just 20% of Democrats said they would be enthusiastic if Biden were the party's 2024 presidential nominee. Another 51% said they would be satisfied, but not enthusiastic. A higher share of Democrats, 26%, expressed enthusiasm for the notion of Vice President Kamala Harris as the nominee in 2024. Biden had the backing of 64% of Democrats who planned to participate in their party's primary, an indicator of soft support for an incumbent president. 13% preferred Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and 10% chose Marianne Williamson. Another Democratic poll respondents, or I should say among Democratic poll respondents who have a record of voting in a primary before, Biden enjoyed a far wider lead, 74% to 8%. He was ahead by 92% to 4% among those who voted in a Democratic primary in 2022. So it sounds like the people who vote for Democrats are behind Joe Biden. The lack of fervor about Biden helps explain the relatively weak showing among small donors in a quarterly fundraising report his campaign released 2 weeks ago. A common view toward Biden is illustrated in voters like Melody Marquez, 54 years old, a retiree and left-leaning independent from Tyler, Texas. She said Biden is the lesser of two evils, or he was in 2020. She was not happy about his handling of the pandemic, blaming him for inflation and a tight labor market. Still, she said she'd vote again for Biden, who is 80 years old, over Trump, who is 77. She says, "I'm sorry, but both of them to me are too old." Joe Biden seems less mentally capable age-wise, but Trump is just evil. He's done horrible things. And that's the way it is, right? Biden always says you're not voting for God. You're just voting for, I guess, the lesser of two evils. I don't know. But Biden still seems like a better guy than the criminal. Anyway, 8:58 right now. Going to take a break. Stick around. Got the news coming up. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Maybe you'd like to give me a kiss, so sweet. Only for one night, but no repeat. Maybe you'll go away and never call.
Hey, this is Julie Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today,
you're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZ.
I'm